a no frown Friday. Come on, get smiley. If I throw one your way, throw it back my way. Even if you get cut off on the highway, don't frown, put your finger down, it's Friday.
Welcome to the Matt and Beth Show. This is episode
51, Ichiro.
What does that mean?
Ichiro is a Japanese baseball player for the Seattle Mariners.
Number 51.
Wow. Yeah, isn't that cool?
The things your brain holds on to and remembers.
I get a little nostalgic when I'm heading back home and I'm going back to Washington, and I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah.
So like thinking
next
about
next week.
Gonna be back in Washington next week, but it's not all for the goods. You ever have it where you feel like, man, I better jump on this thing before there's not a chance to jump on this thing?
Yeah. It's not just for funsies.
Yeah, and I think that right now God is putting me in a position where I'm supposed to be home, and everything has been obviously pointing that way. And like my mom's new husband, he has stage 4 prostate cancer. So we found out, though, that it has not spread to any vital organs.
Okay.
Yeah, so they think that basically they can put him on a treatment plan that's going to be a life that he can live and
wow,
live healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's amazing. First off, science, God, thank you for the scientists and the science that you gave them, the smarts you gave these people to come up with this stuff. And a spider is coming down from the middle of the ceiling here in the studio.
It's pale white. Oh, no.
Albino.
And if you swipe it this direction right now, Matt, I'm going to lose my mind.
I'm about to lose my mind regardless.
Matt, can you even handle the spider? It's getting lower. It's getting closer. Get it in the trash can. No, get it in the trash.
Yeah,
what are you gonna do when you get it in the can? Go that direction. Okay. Now smash the can. Okay. Now can you take that trash can over by you?
Yes, I could.
Mad, you just got that spider. Is your heart racing?
I may need to talk about the doctors. I may need to go.
That thing just kept coming down from us. Oh, my goodness.
Those albino whiteies.
I know.
I might be a wussy. I squeal and scream and shake uncontrollably. Then I go run and hide and yell to my wife, honey, come here. Would you come kill this spider? Please come kill this spider.
Whew.
So anyway,
you're going home.
So going back home.
To meet
my stepdad.
Stepdad.
A lot of people are going to be there that I haven't seen in a long time. So I'm pretty excited about that. But not knowing Marv, my mom's husband, my new stepdad, and thinking about like, I want to have like a presentation that's not like, oh, look at me, but more like, hey, man, I'm here and I love you. I like want to pour out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I get to Washington. I'm taking a plane. My brother's going to pick me up and then we'll probably all meet up somewhere. The whole family will get together for like a lunch and I'll get to meet Marv. But I was thinking with all this prom stuff that's going on, like promposals.
Yes.
I was thinking that if I did something like that, like when you get off an airplane and you're waiting for somebody, limo
with
driver.
The sign. Yeah.
Yeah, it says Beth's limo.
Yeah.
But like a promposal with all of that, you know.
Right.
I thought like doing one is like I'd be happy, not saddy, if you'd be my daddy. No?
Or how, like, could we take the next step in our relationship and become my stepdad?
And then draw steps
draw
on the
stairs.
Oh, that's good, too. That's really good.
We don't know this guy. Do you think he'll, like, be very confused? Because he's not young. Do you think this will, like, confuse him?
I really don't know because I don't know the man.
Do you think he's, like, you are 40, whatever. I married your mom, but I didn't think stepdad was really on the table.
Or a promposal.
Do you think he went out and took like some step parenting courses?
The Matt and Beth Show. getting on a plane. I haven't been on a plane in 8 years either. Last time I was home was 8 years ago, I think. 8 years ago, yeah.
Wow.
So I haven't been on an airplane for quite some time. Are there any new rules I need to know about?
Well, 8 years, so that was definitely...
That was post 9/11.
It was post 9/11, but before COVID.
Mm.
But they don't require like masks anymore. Who are you flying? Do you know what airline it is?
Southwest.
Oh, Southwest.
Why do you say that? Do you fly a lot?
Because you know Southwest that you like check in early because Southwest doesn't assign seats. Do you know this about Southwest?
I know nothing.
Southwest doesn't. Southwest.
Southwest.
Okay. I thought I said it with a lisp.
Southwest.
They don't assign seats. So like the day before, exactly 24 hours before your flight time, you get on the app and check in.
Oh.
And then that puts you in an earlier boarding group.
Oh.
So you can choose your seat.
Oh. So you can do thank you.
It is nice because otherwise if you get in that final boarding group and you go to get on the plane, you're going to get like a middle seat.
Yeah, I don't want
that. That's the only thing left.
No. Have you ever acted crazy on a plane so people don't sit next to you?
No. Oh,
try it sometime.
I've put a bag next to me.
That's not right, though, is it? They'll say, get your bag out of my
seat.
They
will. Yeah. They will.
But they can't really argue with you.
We flew Southwest recently, and because they don't go to Guatemala, which is where we go all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the front row, when you walk in, the very front row of the whole plane has the most leg room you've ever seen. Like,
yes.
I could stick my legs out straight in front of me and not even touch the wall. But nobody wants that seat because there's no overhead bin. Like, you just have to set your stuff back just like a little bit. And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
My husband is a giant. Yeah. So I would, and nobody else came any of those flights. Like, nobody else sat in those seats.
So
we were like, well,
are you the first one off too?
Yeah.
You are.
Well, yeah.
Because they don't go start in the back. They start in the front.
Right.
Right. So there's only good things about the seat other than the overhead bin being not there?
Yeah.
That's silly. I don't need that. If I have all that much leg room, I'll put my stuff down by my feet.
Well, that's the thing. You can't because there's nothing in front of you to put it underneath.
Oh,
so,
okay. Well, I'll put it between my legs.
It's fine. All that to say, if you're flying, just check in early. That way you have your choice of seats.
Okay. That's good to know. When it comes to packing, how are you with packing? Do you feel like you have to bring double everything? Because I feel like I'm like, dude, like,
I don't know what I'm going to want to wear.
What if my socks get wet? I don't know. When is the last time your socks
got wet? How
many
days are you going?
6 days.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're going for like a week.
Yeah.
So, well, Southwest, the nice thing is all your bags fly free. So like you can take.
Oh, you can.
Two giant suitcases.
Oh, that's nice then.
And so I pack differently depending on which airline I'm flying with. If I can take a suitcase for free, then I'm going to fill a big old suitcase.
Right.
But if I had to pay, $100 to take a bag with me, then I'm going to try to get it all in my carry-on. You know, like you can't take liquids, knives.
Huh? Here's another question. Can you bring mace?
Oh, I don't think so.
Because I was planning on bringing mace to have it on me, in Washington.
Really?
I am I've turned into a small town kid.
Are you really?
I kind of feel like
weird
it.
About it?
Like I'm a little weirded out about going back home. Here's why. It's because, of course, what has media done but make everything in like Seattle and Portland look like it's on fire,
Yeah.
And like everybody's breaking into
fire.
That's the thing is I think there was a small portion of Seattle
that was on fire.
That people took over and they were like lighting things on fire and being stupid. Yeah. But it's not like you go, coming down by First and Pike, and then Second and Pike is the fire grounds where everyone's still burning everything. It's not like it's something that's still
like
there.
You're on a tour bus.
Right.
Going through the smoke.
And it used to be the Space Needle. Now it's a pile of ashes. But the thing
did you really think you need to bring mace?
Yeah, I do. Here's why. Let me tell you this. As a kid, I remember walking down in downtown Seattle, and I'd be with my father figure and my brother, and people would be like, crack, crack. And I didn't know what any of that meant. People were asking whether you had crack or do you want crack. But we just walk, and Richard told me, just keep forward. Keep your eyes forward. Just keep going. Keep going. Tough to do when you're a little kid and everybody's like, reaching out to you like it's some scary movie, and they're laying on the ground asking for change. All that as a kid, but it's gotten more violent. Like, my brother's like, there's shootings downtown like every day.
And are you staying? Like, is that where you're going to be spending your time?
In downtown, no. But I'm sure we'll be spending some time downtown. My thought is this, is that if I had a thingamace, at least if I'm walking sure. around solo or anything, somebody comes at me with a knife and a gun, at least I could spray them.
Well, I bet you could put it in your, like, the bag you check. You can't put it in your...
carry-on?
Your carry-on.
Or on
my
person. You
could pick some up when you get there. Like, maybe your brother could just have some.
You're probably right.
Then you don't have to fly with
I'll just get a gun when I get there. A machete.
Does travel make you nervous, or just where you're going?
All of it.
The flying.
All of it. All of it.
The lines.
All of it.
The figuring out which direction to go in the airport.
And
you're going by yourself.
Going by myself, which I think in the stress that I feel that I'm causing other people is usually worse than when I'm by myself. Meaning that.
Okay. So you. Yeah, I'll be not okay worried about anybody else and losing kids and stuff like that.
Right. And that's part of the reason I just wanted to go back, because we're not really vacationing. It's more of like, I'm going to try to get as much one-on-one time with my family as I can.
So is this your childhood home you're going to?
Nah, that's gone. Someone else lives in 33407 35th Avenue Southwest, Federal Way, Washington, 98023. Crazy. Wow.
Weird. What's Carrie's phone number?
I have no idea. 4025. Oh, I can't see it on the other
phone. I'm just kidding.
And it's interesting when you go back home. It's like, I remember when I was little, there was this spot that I used to ride my bike, and you'd go past like Safeway, and then you'd go past like Albertsons, and then it just stopped, and it was just woods. And you get on your bike and you roll through there, and about an hour ride, you'd end up at SeaTac Mall, which seemed like a gigantic ride, but you're cutting through everything.
Yeah.
And then the next time you go back, you're like, it's like a mall now. Like, all of this woods is just cut down. Like, everything you remember, there's, like, aquatic center over here and six grocery stores and a bunch of marijuana places. But you know what I mean? Is it, like, all of these things from your childhood, that's the weird part about going back home is the changes.
The change. Yeah.
If you haven't been to Nebraska, say you hadn't been to Lincoln since, like, the rail yard or, like, PBA.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. I think about people coming back to Nebraska, come back to Lincoln and see what it looks like. But that's the weird part, going back to where my hometown was, which is Federal Way, which is a small suburb, and then seeing all the changes.
Yeah.
But then also seeing all that's the same, too. You know?
Yeah, there's some fun nostalgia.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And seeing your family, it doesn't change. It's still the same, and those hugs still feel the same from your mom. And seeing your brother, and I know he's going to try to convince me to play basketball when I really don't want to. He used to be like, hey, I'll give you $5. You play basketball with me. I'd be like, dude, it's like 12:30 at night. He's like, I'm like, come on, dude. And he's like, let's go, $5. So we play, and then at the end, he'd go, I don't have $5. So we'll see if that's
still. I'd hold out for
still,
more. I think in inflation. Don't
$50 games.
$50
games.
$50.
Yeah. Each game $50.
And you got to see it. Show me the money first.
Yeah, show me the money first.
But like when you think about going back home, what about changes in you, Matt? Think about 8 years ago. Yeah. Where were you?
Wow.
In your life, 8 years ago, the last time you were home.
It's wild. You know what? I've been, and this is something I've tried to explain. To people, but not sound like, oh, I had such a great life, but more of like, I think where a lot of people can be is that they don't feel like they need God, you know? So my life was 8 years ago would have been, you know, a pretty normal, happy, decent place. But coming up here in April, near the end of it, when Easter was 5 years ago, was when everything happened. So between the time I've been back home, I haven't seen my family since I'm a follower of Christ. And with that, there's something that comes with that, that I'm not like flying by myself. You know what I'm saying? There's something that like, I'm bringing God with me. God's with me at all times. So I do feel a different strength. I feel a different confidence in communicating with them that I haven't talked with them in a long time. Cause I don't feel like it's all me having to muster up everything. I do feel like God's there with me always. And I feel like there's a reason for this trip too. So I really don't feel alone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, you know, there's been a lot of changes since the last time I've been home on both sides. Yeah. And, you know, that seeing the happiness of my mom and seeing my brother now that we're, you know, reconciling some differences and to go back home and it's going to be all about family and love and being together versus a lot of times we'd get back there and there wasn't a lot of focus on that. It was just everybody was just kind of going everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think that the good thing about this is I think we're going in kind of with that same thought of like, let's just be together. Let's just all just kind of be together, and I think it's going to be good.
They changed the name.
You're tired.
I have no idea why, because I'm snarky.
Like, do you think you get a little snarky?
When I'm tired?
Yeah. Is that your first thing is when you're tired of snarkiness?
Yes.
How about hungry?
Do I get snarky when I'm hungry too? Yeah. So what percentage of my day am I snarky?
Oh, I'm tired and hungry. It's done.
Tired and hungry.
It's done. Okay. So in the Bible app, I was reading the our plan that we have, which, by the way, thank you for guys for doing that at Crossroads. Like for folks to be able to follow along together, which is so cool. Don't you think it's cool that everybody's reading the same stuff?
Yep.
I think it's awesome. All right. So here's what was in the devotional yesterday. It says, it's hard to imagine that people rejected Jesus. And I think about that too, is watching those miracles and being in that moment in time. How many things would we reject? And I know it's a whole different thing than Jesus, but like at the time, you'd think it'd be kind of easy to reject Jesus. Don't you think? In like retrospect, it would be like, oh my gosh, I see that now. But like when things are right in front of our face, sometimes we don't realize it.
Sure.
So I think the same way if we look at a lot of things in history is if we go, why didn't anybody recognize that at that time? Why didn't anybody see that that's what that was supposed to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's almost weird when people go, hey, do you not believe it? Of course, if I saw the miracle right in front of me, what would I think? Even at that point, my mind still might be like, that guy's up to something. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Do you think your body completely changed and your mind would be like, nope, that's Jesus. Whatever you're thinking, nope, that's opposite of that. Like what you've been known to think about people who are doing things like what Jesus was doing. Don't you know what I'm saying?
Not really.
Okay, then let's move on to the next one.
But no, I think, it's so easy to judge in hindsight because we have the Bible. They didn't have the Bible.
That.
And as much as they studied like the Old Testament, it doesn't mean they knew. Think about the people who grew up in church who really just don't know that much about the Bible, right? Yeah. They know the key verses.
Right.
So, I mean, it makes sense to me if they didn't know every single prophecy and be able to, like, determine that's what was happening.
Yeah.
How many people, like, never actually even saw Jesus? They just were hearing all these murmurings and rumors. Like, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for everybody to, like, you know, figure it out for themselves.
You know what I think about, too, is that, like, what if Jesus would have come when there was social media? Like, what would that have looked like? People like, oh, I got the video of him turning water into wine. You guys got to watch this. Viral. Everything about him. But the word that spread across everywhere by just literally word of mouth. Mouth to ear, and that's it. It's pretty impressive. Okay, so here's the thing. It says, even his own family rejected him. Jesus' response says, obeying the word of God matters more than family. Which is a tough one sometimes.
That is
like
hard.
When we put God above your kids,
that
one stirs something up inside of me that's really hard to swallow.
Yep.
That's a toughie. But this says, more than family, what is standing between you and obeying God? And I started to think about that, and I couldn't think of a great example of what stands between me and obeying God or anyone in obeying God. And does it have to be something drastic like I'm refusing to obey God? Or is it in our day-to-day that we're just not obeying God? Like, where do you see that?
I think probably the biggest thing that comes between us and obeying God is our comfort.
Explain.
So, like, if you know in your heart, the Bible says, forgive as he has forgiven you. Forgive in the same way that he has forgiven. If you want him to forgive you, you must forgive. And if I know that I need to offer forgiveness, but I just don't want to, I have been hurt too bad and I just am not ready to let it go. So I think my, and that's not really comfort as much as my, I don't know if it's pride, I don't know, whatever it is, but my comfort, if you know that you need to ask for someone's forgiveness, like you can tell, like God is really, he's making you sick to your stomach over something that you did to this person. And you know that he is in the bottom of your heart, that he is telling you, you need to go ask for forgiveness, but that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That conversation is uncomfortable. So a lot of times people avoid that. They don't obey what God is speaking to the, you know, asking them to do because of comfort. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, God wants you to quit your job that pays really well and go work for a nonprofit, or otherwise not work for a nonprofit, but just like wait until I bring you something else. Well, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's a step. That's a leap of faith.
Yeah.
So I think usually it's our own comfort. It's like, I can't possibly see how this could be God telling me to do this because
I can't
it
imagine
might
it working
require
out.
Me to eat a sandwich for lunch that I made at home,
right,
you know?
Right. And I think that that's what we do. And then that uncomfort that we feel, here's what I found, mm-hmm. that I've had to work through a lot in these situations. And I know I could point them to you.
Yeah.
If I were being honest and listening to what God's saying, and when I know it's God, not trying to go, could be an upset tummy, whatever. Right? You know what I mean? But yeah. When we know in our dark nights of in our silence, just me and God, I know you're speaking to me and I'm not obeying. I think that I know exactly what you're saying in those moments too. And we can almost like justify it. Like when it comes to forgiveness, that's a big one. Or if it comes to loving your enemy, which is another one I really like to discuss at some point, what that really means. Because is it loving your enemy? The enemy is the one who even cuts you off in traffic.
Yeah.
Because I'm showing some hatred towards them for doing that. And of course, on the other side, it could be somebody who completely and totally flipped your world around 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And how are you supposed to love that enemy and forgive that person? But don't you think that, or do you think that it's, we need to be patient through the process or work harder to forgive and obey God? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because is the process a 5-year process that I just have to continuously check my heart, and at some point it's going to feel more not natural, but more less of that turn in my stomach.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is maybe not forgiveness is a little bit different to me. Because
then obeying?
Well, no. God commands us to forgive. So to me, it should be obedience, right? Mm-hmm. It should be a something that we do. Okay, I'm choosing to obey. I'm choosing to forgive right now. So to say like, but forgiveness is also a process. So it's both.
Yeah.
I think that if God is telling you, Matt, you need to forgive so-and-so for what they did to you, then I think ultimately we need to make the choice right now that I am going to forgive. I am choosing to lean into the process of forgiveness as well. So I'm going to speak it out loud right now, yeah. This I forgive, but know that like we still have feelings and those feelings come up and there's trauma related to these things that have happened to us in the past. So it is a choice that you can make and you can speak it out loud, but it's a process that it's ongoing.
Yeah.
So I don't think the right answer is to say, well, forgiveness is a process, and when I get there, I'll get there. Mm. No, it has to be a conscious effort because it will never feel good to do it. And honestly, even though the hurt is really bad now, the hurt might numb, but also the grudge might build up and the resentment might build up and then just make the process that much harder.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to obedience, we have to make the choice with our actions, whether our heart is there or not. Nice. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I think what you're trying to say, like the heart is the part that has to process it.
Yes.
The heart is the part that sometimes lags behind and has to catch up. But when it comes to obedience, I think what we need to do is I'm going to choose to take that step. I'm going to choose to act on what you've asked me to do. And hopefully your heart gets into it later.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't though, did you do what was asked of you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And maybe the process is still going on.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that that's so big that, you know, even those moments of say it starts to seep back up. And I think our first thing we want to do just naturally is I almost feel like if I've been working on this and it's still coming back up in that same frustration, that same anger, that same spite, that pride, that whatever that is, that I'm like, well, I've already worked on this. I need to push that back down.
Right.
Versus, oh, nope, I'm going to go through it again. I'm going to talk. I'm going to say it out loud. I'm making the choice. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to
God
about
this.
What triggered this?
Yeah, why like, am I feeling? Yes.
So because we do, though, is, and I think that when we feel bad about something or feel guilt or we feel that we should be somewhere else than where we are, then we try to make it quick. Versus going through the process with God again. And I think that's important because if we started out one way, don't get weak at the end. Don't start to go, well, it doesn't matter now since it's not working.
Right.
You feel me?
Yes. And the whole, like, it's not working too. Like, again, I think forgiveness is such a, like, it's not a gray area, but it's not concrete. But if I ask my kids to do something, like, I expect that they would obey regardless of what I'm asking them to do or if they prefer it or not. So if you think about forgiveness, like if I just like, yeah, I'm going to kind of ease into it, or I'm going to say I'm going to forgive him, but then I'm still going to let this resentment creep in. It'd be like, I mean, if God tells you to stop drinking alcohol, like you have a problem and you need to give this to me, and I think that you need to stop drinking. Well, then is it okay for you to like sometimes drink then? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So is it okay for me to like sometimes not choose to forgive, but it's not okay? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like obedience is concrete, right? It's yes or no. Did you do what God is asking you to do? And then I think the human part of us is where we come in and we're just like, but like, help my heart be in it. God, help me. Like, cause I don't want to do, I don't want to give this up, or I don't want to let this grudge go. So the act of obedience, like it's yes or no. Did you obey? Well, like I kind of did.
Right.
I stopped drinking on Saturday nights.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I forgive until they do something else to me.
Yeah.
So when it comes to obedience, and I think we see this in our kids, like, did they obey? Yes or no? And then like the heart issue is what you parent through and you teach through. And that's what God graciously does to us too.
Yeah.
I need some good news, baby.
Let's do this. It's the wrap-up, and Beth's got your wrap-up now. It's brought to you by Trinity Chiropractic. Here's Beth with your wrap-up.
Well, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus is teaching a crowd. It's actually in Luke chapter 11, and he's giving all this teaching, and he's just giving all this wisdom to the people. And as he's speaking, this woman yells, "God bless your mother," right? She must be so proud. And Jesus replies, he's like, yeah, my mom, right? But no, he just says, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. And I think that's so good for us to remember that the Bible isn't a list of rules. Your relationship with God and the times that God like speaks to you and like asks you to do something, asks you to obey in a certain area, it's not just because it's a list of rules. Like, God has blessing for you. And the principles that are in his word are not just because he doesn't want us to have fun, or not because he's just like against anybody who is having fun. It's because ultimately that's the way the universe was designed to work. And God just wants us to walk in a life of blessing. So if you struggle with that in the past, when you see like Christians or any kind of really organized religion as being a list of rules, of do's and don'ts, well, when it comes to the Bible, just know this. God gave it to us not because he just wants to be in charge and make a bunch of rules, but because he wants to bless you. And so if you're struggling and just feeling like you can't ever get ahead, like your life is just not going the way that you want it to go, maybe just look at the Bible, look at the word and go like, how can I align my life with these principles that God has given? And I just think watch, and you're going to see the blessing of God come through that obedience. I'm Beth, and that's your wrap-up.
I need some good news, baby. Give it to me. Give it to me.
This is the Matt and Beth Show.
All the other episodes are at themattandbethshow.com.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, Beth.
Sorry.
Hey, Beth.
Hey, Matt.
Got a question for you as I've been watching some redecorating shows.
Oh, wow.
Looking at your little space with your little orange chair and your little blankie and your microphone next to a shelf.
Yes.
Of just random stuff, and then like this piece of artwork that's got pushed into a corner. It looks like it's about to fall on your head maybe or something like that.
It has.
I feel like you're kind of squished into a corner. Is this something that we need to address, or is it just my own problem that I'm worried that you're not comfortable enough?
Well, you don't seem to be worried about my comfort when you set the thermostat for like to like 58 degrees.
So I thought it said 85. Dyslexia.
Of all the things happening in this room right now.
That's the only thing you want?
It's not that painting that's making me uncomfortable.
Okay. Then I will get a space heater.